Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is Mitzi, and you have called in and are listening to Healing Hearts His Way. Today is April 21st, and it's Tuesday at 6 p.m., and again, we gather here to share with one another thoughts about God and thoughts about being healed and healing our hearts. So many of us have gone through life with a broken heart, and I have it in my heart to share with you my journey and the things that I learned along my way so that hearts can be healed. When you have a broken heart, it just completely holds you back from all the things that life has to offer, because when you're wounded, we can use, for example, if you have a broken heart on crutches, you're moving much slower than you would be normally than when you're healthy. So when a person has a broken heart, even though we can't see it with our eyes, and people are really good at hiding the fact that they have a broken heart, it still shows up. It shows up in the fact that they can't be all they are meant to be in this life. It limits their potential, and it slows them down. A lot of times when people go to bed at night and close their eyes, they know they have a broken heart. And just thinking about those things and having that negative thought process creates a deficiency in our life that we will not be full of the joy that Jesus wanted us to have and walk in on this earth. So I just thank you for tuning in, and I want to open in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a vessel for you and to speak your words. God, you asked me to create Healing Hearts His Way because I know it's in your very own heart, Father, that you desire to see hearts healed. You told us that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And Father, this is a subject I know is on your own heart. So I just ask, Lord, that you speak through me and that you speak to those that need to hear these words, and that you will just use these words like a key and a lock and unlock their hearts so that healing may begin to take place and that they may be able to walk in their destiny. As you have done for me, Father, and you are so faithful, and I just want to shout from the rooftops the good news of all you do for me. So last week, and thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we were talking about trials. We were talking about suffering. And last week seems like it was a long time ago, but that stayed with my mind about suffering. And we really work that out, and I had some wonderful callers who gave me some insight and helped me. And God spoke to me some more during this week about suffering. And as I begin to think about it on a deeper level, suffering teaches us obedience to the Spirit. Our ultimate goal is to be obedient to the Spirit of God that we have in our life. When we give our life to God, then when we accept the suffering that Christ did for us, then God gives us His Holy Spirit that resides in us. And we're made up of a body and of a soul and of a spirit. And we have the spirit of man and we have the spirit of God. And the spirit of God should be ultimately in control of our decisions and our heart, our character, the way that we live our life, and the way that we shine in this world. So suffering teaches us obedience to the Spirit, and it requires that our soul realm be subject to the spirit realm. And Hebrews 4:8, I see it says, okay, that's actually not the scripture that I was looking at. I think it may be Hebrews 5:8. It says, though he was a son, Yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So we all know that Jesus suffered. I mean, you can't pass up the Easter season without hearing about the suffering of Jesus and his death. And we can go into a lot more detail on that subject. But just as Jesus suffered and learned obedience, so also we are required to have a season of suffering in our life. And there's this beautiful side effect that happens when we suffer. The more that we suffer, and if we will allow God to flow through us when we're suffering, the more we bear his image. And as we bear his image, the world can see Jesus through us. So as they see the light that comes through us, because God is light, then they can see Jesus, and they can have that brief second of light flickering in their own darkness that opens up their eyes. So it doesn't have to be that we stand up at the pulpit and that we're preaching the gospel for the gospel to be preached. The gospel is preached through us. We are living vessels for God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are where the light shines through and the Lord can be a witness to the world through us. So there is a very important reason for suffering that we go through. And I just had to share that with you. The Lord was so kind to give me a deeper understanding of why we suffer, because we feel oftentimes that we suffer unjustly, and we do. But when we can let go of trying to reason it out in our own human reasoning, and we will take on the understanding of God and his spirit of understanding and wisdom, we will see that suffering is actually ordained by God, and that is a beautiful thing. It's not something to be afraid of or to run away from, but it's something to learn how to walk through. As we have revelation of God's processes, of his wisdom, then when you have a revelation, it's an invitation into a divine encounter with God. When you have a deeper understanding of the ways of God, he's inviting you into an encounter with him. He's saying to you, come take a closer look at me. I'm showing you things that I want you to know. And we all know that the death of God is something we may never completely understand how deep God is, but we know that he can show us how wonderful and how beautiful and how majestic he is through our encounters with him. And when we have revelation, then our faith is a response to revelation. Because once you have that revelation, then it builds your faith. And you have faith and you say, wow, I see a facet of who God is, and I believe, and I have faith, being the substance of things hoped for, because it manifests. So there's just this chain link of reaction that occurs from just thinking and going a little deeper into Scripture than sometimes we just flip and open our Bible and we're reading the Word, which is awesome in and of itself. But I'm a deep thinker, and I ponder on things 24/7. My mind just never stops. And so I'm bringing you guys along with me on those thoughts. So, you know, something I've been thinking about for the past year, and it was a word that just got stuck on my tongue and it wouldn't leave, and that was destiny. I heard so many people saying, oh, I'm walking in my destiny, and I know what my destiny is. And for me, it just totally eluded me. I felt left out. I felt like there was this club that was created, and it was called the Destiny Walkers, and I couldn't get inside that club no matter what. I asked 100 people what their destiny was and or is, and what does the word destiny mean, and I Googled it. I did all those things to try to appease my own thought process. And The funniest thing happened, which is the way of God to me, when I just relaxed into God and I didn't care anymore about my destiny. I just let it slip my mind. I started having encounters with God of how deep He is, how much He loves us, resting in Him, just being blessed by the fact that Jesus has taken care of everything and I don't have to labor to make things happen. I found out that I walked right into my own destiny, that my destiny and your destiny is your divine connection, your intimacy with Jesus. And when you have intimacy with Jesus, when you minister to Him, then ministry flows out of you. It's going to be your natural reaction to people. When you're being loved on by God and you're loving Him back, and this exchange occurs, you can't help it. It's just going to flow out of you, and you're going to just walk right past somebody, and you're going to stop dead in your tracks, and your mind is going to feel something. Your heart is going to feel something. Your whole body feels it because it's the Spirit of God inside of you. And He stops you, and you turn around and you look at that person that you were walking past, and you sense a need that they have. You sense that they need a smile, that they need a hug, that they need a wave if you're strangers. You're just going to be able to minister to people. So I got really excited to find out that my destiny is my relationship with Jesus, and I am in my destiny, and everybody's in their destiny. So I just wanted to give that assurance to anybody that could possibly be thinking the same thing, because it tends to be that if I'm thinking it, a lot of other people are thinking it, and I was always that one in class that said, I have to ask this question. So I'm just thankful that I have this opportunity to share my thoughts with you all. So tonight we wanted to talk about unity and love and how God heals us through unity and love. I was reading Psalms 103. I just read the whole Psalms and I just kept going into quite a few more after that one. But in Psalms 103, who is God? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? And you can just go on and read Psalms 103, and it explains to us that God is so tender and loving towards us. The world has the concept that God is a harsh, mean judge, but I just don't seem that way. Yes, God has had to be a judge. He has laid down the law. But if you would think about it and you go back and you read, God wanted a relationship with the children of Israel. He wanted it so much. And the children of Israel demanded that He not even speak to them. He wanted to speak to man face to face at that time. And they denied God that longing in His own heart. And they said, no, speak to Moses and let him speak to us. So, I don't know. There's two sides to every story, and I just happen to see God's side that He's not mean and harsh, but He has set laws about in heaven, in the universe, and when we follow those laws, they tend to bring just beautiful, awesome things. So there's something that God wants in the body of Christ. He wants to share upon the whole earth through His kingdom, the body of Christ just evolving into the kingdom of God in fullness. And that's, He wants us to walk in unity, and He wants us to walk in love with each other. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And so we're going to take callers. You can call in to discuss these things. The number to call in is 646-787-8529. 2-2. So thanks everyone for letting me to share my thoughts on these things, and now I'm going to take caller 509-257. Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, can
Hi.
you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I was just listening over the phone. I didn't know what I was going to say, but listening to you, I came on a little bit late, but listening to you, that was just so good. And you know, you're right. You flow into your destiny when you just don't worry about it. When you don't worry about your destiny, because God's got it. He knows what it is. And if you just get intimate with Him and close with Him, and I've just, you know, I found that to be true. I live in a really kind of remote area, a little town, and of 70 people. And so, you know, it can get very lonely out here sometimes. And people, even the people in town, they kind of stay to themselves. But, you know, when I said, you know, God, you poured all these things into me. I need to have, you know, I want a place to pour them out. And He gave me, you know, now I work at a wonderful place called Christ Kitchen, and we serve the homeless and people who have drug addiction issues, and they're working through those. And it's just a really loving environment and a really good, like you say, non-judgmental place to learn who God is and to have people, you know, to with skin on to show, you know, who God is too. And so, you know, I'm just really, you know, enjoying myself in the Lord. And like you say too, the revelations came, you know, very easily once I, you know, put my agenda on the back burner. I think maybe that's part of the issue, is that you know, we want to know what, I don't know if we really want to know what God's destiny is for us, or we want to do what we want to do. You know, we've kind of got an agenda, and when we put that away, then God can do what He wants to do.
And that's a perfect way of saying it too, because I had a concept in my mind of what my destiny was supposed to look like, and except I never could make it manifest. I would think that I knew what it was, and every time I tried to make that happen, it was impossible. And so I think your point is exactly the truth of when we just lay aside what's inside our own mind, our idea of what it's supposed to look like, and just let it happen, God's going to unfold it. And it's going to be more beautiful than anything we could have ever tried to create. Is this Anne?
This is
Is your
Kathy.
name Anne? Oh,
Kathy.
Kathy. Okay.
That's
Thank you,
okay.
Kathy. I'm sorry I didn't ask your name at first.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't give it either. Forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, Kathy.
Well,
Thank
I'm
you
very
for, you
happy
know,
to.
thank you for doing this show. And I'm excited, you know, to participate whenever I can.
Oh, well, thank you very much for telling me that, because I was obedient to God in doing this, but He pretty much had me dragged to it because I was really nervous and I didn't even know how to work my computer to make this happen. So it just happened in trial and error. So some of my early shows, I think people can't even hear, you know, because I didn't know how to do the sound. And so that's really awesome for you to tell me that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for doing it.
Okay, well, you have a great day, Kathy.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. So like we were talking about, and I just so appreciate Kathy calling. And so there are a lot of us out there who are wondering we wonder how it's going to be to find our destiny and what it looks like to walk into it. And so as we understand that unity is like this beautiful thing that the Lord gives us, that unity comes with an expense. Unity isn't free. To be unified, you have to walk in vulnerability. And you can't be vulnerable if you don't understand your own suffering. So vulnerability is something that I think the Lord is teaching the body of Christ right now, how to be transparent, how to say, I'm suffering as well. I'm not better than you. My journey might look different, but our circumstances might be different, but we're all on the same journey. And nobody is better than another. So I think unity is very important. And it comes from being vulnerable. And in Hebrews 5 and verse 4, God tells us, no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God. And he's talking about suffering obedience to God. So it's something that we all end up going through if we love God. So if we look like Jesus from being molded through our suffering, and we carry his glory, then healing can take place when we all come together and we show each other love and we show each other unity. So that was basically what my message is on tonight of love and unity. Love with God, he does not force himself on anybody. Those who come to him do so in response to his love. God shows kindness to everybody. Jesus never coveted what another person had. He lived a very humble life and never complained. He was in the flesh, and he didn't brag about who he was, although he could have overpowered anybody he came in contact with. God does not demand our obedience. He did not demand obedience from Jesus. He willingly obeyed his Father in heaven. And he was always looking out for the interests of others. So God has given those who receive his son Jesus as their personal savior the ability to love as he does through the power of the Holy Spirit. Love is not something that comes natural to the human mind. Love is something that it flows from God into us, and then we can pour it out on others. Because if we try to fix people's needs and we try to take care of the deep suffering that we see going on in the world by fixing their needs, by paying somebody's bill, by, don't get me wrong, before I finish this thought even, of course we can help each other, and that is love to do those things. But I love helping people, and I found myself, I was one of those people that tried to absolutely help everybody I ran across their path that needed help. I would just overextend myself, and I gave so much that I found myself so empty, and I had to go back to God, and I was like, oh, what am I doing wrong? I feel like I'm doing what you wanted me to do. I feel like you wanted me to pay this person's light bill so they could have electricity. I feel like you wanted me to buy this person's groceries because I could see they were struggling. I feel like you wanted me to buy clothes for their children because I could see that they were having a difficult time. So what's wrong? Why aren't things getting better? And as I came before the Lord and I spent some time with him, He began to show me that, yes, all those things are good, but to go where He leads me to go where the Spirit leads you, because God is the provider. God is the one who takes care of all the needs. And as I allowed Him to flow through me, so as I go to Him as the source of this ability to be loving and giving, and I gave it to other people, I didn't feel depleted. I felt energized. So there was a complete difference with just seeing a need and trying to meet it versus going where the Spirit led me to go and to be able to love on people that way. So, I contemplated a lot this weekend on the glory of God, and spent some time with some new friends in Chicago this weekend. Brian Christian from Father of Glory International Ministries, Jessica Mackay from Keys of the Kingdom. And we just spent some time, a very small group of us, talking, kicking around all the ideas of just how deep it all can go, thinking about God and thinking about the realms of heaven and God's glory. And it changed me. It just completely changed me into a different person with a different mindset, with a deeper understanding of how awesome God is and what our position is in the body of Christ with loving one another in unity and allowing this love to free, loving every person exactly where they are. Nobody should feel like they have to be perfect to be loved, because love is unconditional. Love is the way that God heals our hearts. And to be in God's glory, and I was trying to define what God's glory is earlier. God's glory, I believe, is His beauty. In Isaiah, somewhere there, it says that the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And when they did it, they said, "The whole earth is full of," and you would think it meant that they would finish the sentence with, "The whole earth is full of God's holiness," but it said, "The whole earth is full of God's glory." And so to think about what God's glory is, you have to have some kind of realm of reference. You can describe like a football, and you can say, well, it's this shape and it's made of this kind of material, and you can throw it, and when it hits the ground, it reacts this way. But when we talk about the word beauty, there's no way to describe that in the same way, because just like we know in our fashion world with clothing and with models, with appearance, everybody's attracted to something different in the word beauty. There are some words in our vocabulary which we can communicate with, not because we can say them, but because we can see them. We can point. And if we point at enough things and we see enough things together, we can say, that's it. That's it. We might be able to have a common sense of beauty. But so to put the glory of God into definition, I guess it's like it's a piece that's in every single person, is God's glory. There are parts of it in every single one of us. And if we let it reflect and come out of us, and then when we're all together and we're sharing in unity and love and that glory of God, that beauty, those characteristics of God that He put in each person is going to define that just a little bit differently because we were all made with these unique personalities. Then there's going to be an exchange that takes place. There's going to become this presence of God that occurs where people are then healed, where their hearts are full of love And it's not just the kind of love we know as humans, but it's a deep, deep love that God put inside of us so that when you can hug another person and they feel healing, they're feeling God inside of you. And there's just this whole depth that I think we've been missing. There's just all these things that happen in the world where, you know, we put our walls up and we become afraid to love people the way that God wanted us to do. There's just so many different ways that we can show each other love. And there's a deeper way to show it. And God meant for us to be able to cry in each other's arms. He meant for us to be able to lay beside each other and wrap our arms around each other and hold each other during our hard times. God says to us to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And I just think that there's a depth of healing that this earth has not experienced yet, and that God wants to do that through us. So I'm just really excited to say that that's coming. That is a taste of what I saw this weekend, and that is coming. So it's something that we can all look forward to, of the walls coming down and for there being closeness with people, a closeness that we haven't known before. And God is manifesting himself in people on a deeper level through his love. And it maybe I'm just beginning to tune into it. Maybe some of you have already known all this for a really long time. But for me, it's really exciting because it's something so new. So let's see. The way God puts his holiness on display for people is he puts his holiness on display with his glory. So the glory of God is his holiness made manifest. And let's see, I had a scripture written down here we can go to. In Leviticus 10:3. While I'm flipping here, Kathy, if you're still listening, I think I cut you off when I was trying to hang up after we talked, so I deeply apologize. Like I said, I'm still learning through trial and error how to work this blog talk site, so if I did that to you, I am so sorry, and I really appreciate you calling, and I hope you call me back again. And I'm just so blessed in knowing that you can relate to what I was talking about with destiny, and that the Lord has given you a way to release the feelings that he pours inside of you, and by being able to go to the Christ Kitchen and to work with the homeless. And I myself experienced homelessness at one time. I had a son that experienced homelessness for almost a whole year. And of course, there are long stories and lots of details attached to those stories, which really aren't important. But when I experienced homelessness myself, I did not have hardly anyone reach out to me. There was one girl who reached out to me during that time. And I was a teenager. I was 18, and she was a couple years younger than me. And when I met her, she instantly took a liking to me. And we met at the beach. I was homeless, living on a beach, and it sounds like a dream, but it's not. There are some really tough things you go through when you go through that process. But she befriended me, and I would try to hide from her, and she just kept being in my path. And really, she was speaking to my pride. I was so prideful, even though I was so broken and I was so hungry. I was so prideful. I didn't want to accept help. I did not want to, I didn't want to have to say, here I am, I'm starving, help me. I didn't want to say those words. And this was back in the 70s, a long time ago. Homeless shelters weren't quite the thing that they are now. I went to some churches and I asked for help, and I was told they would take my phone number and they would put me on a waiting list. And I didn't have a phone. I don't even think they had cell phones at the time. If they did, they looked like suitcases. I don't know. But this was just like, I couldn't get any help with this young girl. And I'll never forget, her name was Diane. She would sneak food out of her house and feed me. She would bring it to me. She would track me down and bring it to me. And I was just amazed that she did that for me. So being homeless is a process for the person going through it. And I would never judge a person that's homeless. There can be mental illness. There can be injury. There can just be a person that's down, having a really down time, that God's, you know, allowing them that suffering for something that's just so beautiful. I'm just going to share this quick story with you before I go to Leviticus, but many, many years later, I worked downtown, and I had a great job and plenty of money in my pocket, and I was heading out the door to go to lunch, and I was walking really fast to get to where I wanted to have my lunch at, and I passed a man that was laying on the sidewalk, and, you know, it was always difficult for me to see a person laying on a sidewalk in a downtown area, crowded with people, and people just walk right past them like they're not laying there. But that day, I actually just had so much things on my mind, I just walked right past. But as I was walking past, I have this tendency, I look people right in their eyes all the time, everywhere I go, I just look in people's eyes. And I looked right into this man's eyes, and his eyes looked at me, and they spoke into my heart something extremely deep. And I kept walking. It didn't sink all the way in until after I had taken some more steps. And as I got my half a block away and I ordered my food, I was just convicted in my heart of his plight, of what he was experiencing. And I just saw his eyes. They were burned into my mind, and I couldn't let them go. And sorry, folks, I'm getting a message here on my phone. I prayed and I asked God, I said, what do I do? I'm so convicted, but I don't know how to help him. And I started running back to see if he was there so I could offer to buy him some food, whatever I could do. And he was not there. I had only been gone probably 10 or 15 minutes, but when I came back by, he was not there. And it broke my heart because I felt like I had passed up an opportunity to do what God had wanted me to do, and I didn't know it. I mean, I didn't do it on purpose. I did not say no. I just missed my moment. So I went back to work, and I tried to work without thinking about it, but it burned into my mind so deeply. And I went to sleep that night. I mean, I just soaked my pillow crying because I passed this man up. And I just prayed and I said, God, please put him in my pathway so that so I can make this right. And I just vowed inside of myself to rectify this. So I just started praying and praying that I would see this man again. And homeless people, there's no shortage of. They're everywhere, and I have a big heart for people that go through that process. But there was something about this man that I knew God wanted me to connect with. And lo and behold, I went out for lunch another day, and there he was. But I saw him. He was almost like a block away, but I could see him. It was a straight shot down the street, and I saw him digging in the garbage cans along the way looking for food. And I was so excited, and I was so happy, and I just started running, and I'm running through the crowds of people and that are out on their lunch break, and I'm just going as fast as I can, and you know, my dress heels, and I'm just running, and this man was moving so fast, And I was thinking, how can he be moving that fast? It felt like the strangest thing. I was seeing him like I just couldn't catch up to him, but I was determined. And I finally caught up to him, and he's digging through the garbage can. And then I was like, what am I doing? What am I going to say to him? And I just said, are you hungry? And he just turned around and looked at me with the funniest expression. He didn't, and then he said, yes, ma'am. And I hadn't played it out. I just wanted to have the encounter. I never played out how I was going to do the encounter. So then I was faced with like that second of, okay, how am I gonna, how do I feed him? What do I do? So I looked at the sandwich shop and I said, okay, so let's go into the sandwich shop and I'll buy you anything you want. And he just humbly followed me, and we got in the sandwich shop and we stood in line. And it was packed. It's noon. It's lunchtime in a downtown area. And I was beaming. I could have been the sun on that day because I was shining so brightly. I was so happy. And then all of a sudden, I noticed every eye staring at us, and really more at him. And my heart broke all over again because he probably hadn't been in an establishment for some time. He smelled horrible. He was very dirty. He was just, and I was just stunned that the people were just looking at him that way, and I felt that for him. And so we got up and to the counter finally, and we ordered, and I had them give him extra, and then we paid and walked out on the sidewalk, and I handed him the sandwich, and as we're standing there, and all of our, his hands are on the sandwich on one end, my hands are on the sandwich at the other end. And he said, thank you. And I said, no, wait. I said, you can't have this sandwich unless you'll eat lunch with me. Now, I didn't plan that. I didn't even think about it before I said it, but it came out of my mouth. And God put this idea in my mind. I knew behind the sandwich shop, there was this little hidden area that I would go to and pray at. And there was a picnic table and there was a shade tree. And I said, if you'll follow me, I know an area where we can sit and have lunch outside. And the poor guy, he just totally followed me to this picnic table. He probably wondered, where is this lady taking me? I don't know if he knew it was there. Very few people knew where this little location was. And we sat down at the picnic table and unwrapped our sandwiches, and we sat there face to face across from each other, and we just ate lunch. And I couldn't smell any odor coming from him, although I'm sure there was. I couldn't see his dirty clothes. I couldn't see any of those things. I saw the brightest, bluest eyes I have ever seen in my life. I felt like I was having lunch with Jesus Christ himself. And I know some of you have encountered these kind of moments and you can relate to what I'm saying. And if you haven't encountered these moments, when you do, it's going to be heaven on earth. It's the most awesome experience because this was probably, oh, at least 5 years ago. And when I'm telling you about it, it's still in my heart, touching me so deeply. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's a jewel in my treasure chest of memories that God has given me. And he told me his name was Kevin. And I tried to talk to him, and he wasn't doing very good at putting sentences together. He did not smell like alcohol. It wasn't because of that. I surmised there could be some mental illness. And then I did the motherly thing, and I just told him, I said, there are places where you can go and take a shower and get your hair cut and get some new clothes. And I said, do you need a blanket? I know you sleep outside. And he said, no, I'm fine. I have everything I need. And he stood up, and when we were finished with eating, and he cleared away his wrappers, and he asked me if he could take mine to the garbage for me, and he just turned around and like bowed his head to say thank you, and I still had my change in my hand from the lunch, and I said, I don't usually do this. I said, but I'm going to give you everything I have in my pockets today. I said, but I'm probably not going to be able to do that every time I see you, but I want you to know I care about you. And he said, thank you. And he took the money and he walked away. And I went back to work and I announced to everybody because I was just so excited that I had lunch with this man, and it was just the most awesome experience. And I was beaming. I was so happy I could barely type for the rest of the day. Of course, my coworkers looked at me like I was crazy. And in fact, they told me they didn't believe my story. So, homelessness is I think it's an amazing journey that only special people get to go through. In Leviticus, for some reason, I wanted to go to Leviticus 10, verse 3. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. So our Lord God is holy, but before all the people, he is glorified. And he's glorified when our character emanates his. And we know that God is love. It tells us in 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And we're all in a different process and a different level with learning the love of God, learning how to love, how to learn, learning to love each other, learning to love each other in complete unity, of being vulnerable with one another, of being transparent, learning to love one another by coming together. I know that some people listening will, their hearts have been broken within the very church who was designed to heal their heart. There are so many people who have belonged to religion, who were passed over, who were not loved, who were even asked to leave for so many reasons. And I want to speak to you as well and say that the body of Christ is made up of all of its members, and all of its members are at different stages. And just as a person can have a broken foot and the body walks on a crutch, there will be times when parts of the body are walking with a crutch, but they need the rest of the body to hold them gently in their care and to administer healing to that area, so that the whole body can walk together as one. So what I've been sharing with you all is the deep things on my heart, and I think it's important to God as well. I think he loves us with a depth of love that we have little understanding of. We just go over the verses that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that Jesus died for our sins, and because he loved us. We know that Jesus cried when Lazarus died. Even though Jesus knew he was getting ready to raise him up, and he knew how the whole story was going to play out, but he had that emotion as God and as a man. So God is not a God who does not show emotion. God cries. He weeps for us. He tells us at times he wishes that he were a mother hen and that we were his baby chicks, so he could just put us under his wings and he could. He tells us that those who abide in his shelter will abide under his wings. I just think that God's love for us is really deep. And even though we may be walking through suffering or hurt, if we can let go of our own mindset and our own opinions and the way we're seeing what's happening to us, we can just go to God and lay it down at His feet and say, here you go, God, I know this looks ugly. I know I made a mess of things. I know I didn't do this the best way, but I'm coming to you and I'm laying this at your feet and I'm just going to ask you to rearrange it, to make it beautiful again, because I know you created me to be beautiful. I know you created me to reflect your glory. I know you created me to help heal someone else. And just lay it there and allow Him to do His beautiful God thing, His healing thing of changing you. So with that suffering, don't forget, you'll be able to be molded to look like Jesus. And then when you walk past someone, they're going to stop and they're going to look in your eyes and they're going to see Jesus. They're going to feel His love just like I saw in that homeless man's eyes. I saw Jesus look at me and I feel like I was blessed to have lunch with Jesus. And I feel like a whole lot of people passed up that opportunity. And I just want to encourage everyone to look for the Jesus in each other. And I'm just going to say a prayer and then close the show for tonight. And I thank you for everyone who calls and blesses this show, blesses me. And I thank you for all those of you who listen when it's archived. I know some people get nervous about talking. And believe me, so do I. I'm stepping out in faith on the revelation that somebody that hears these words, and they're not my words, this has very little to do with me except I'm willing. And I have the deepest desire that God's put in my heart to heal hearts and to heal people who are suffering, to help them understand why they're suffering. So I'm just going to say thank you to everybody and tell you that God loves you with a depth of love that I'm not able to express. But if you give somebody else a hug, you might be able to feel more of God that way. And Father, I just want to say thank you for showing us your tenderness. Thank you for expressing to us your tender mercies, your loving kindness, your compassion for us in our human state. And God, we know that you are doing all things for our benefit, and that you are creating within us a renewed mind and a new heart. And as we walk through the laws, our flesh becomes crucified because we can't keep the law. It's impossible to keep the letter of the law. But as we walk through the system that you laid out for us, Lord, it all has a purpose. And as we begin to walk in the Spirit, as you ask us to walk in spirit and in truth, and we walk at a higher realm of understanding our humanity and understanding that humanity was created to all come together. And that once we all come together and we recognize Jesus in each other, then, Lord, your kingdom will manifest on this earth. And I thank you for that revelation. I thank you for that knowledge. I ask that you help me to do my part to bring it forth. And I just want to thank everybody again. Lord, I know that there are many people that are suffering, many people that don't know how they're going to buy groceries, and they don't know where they're going to live, and they've lost their jobs. And there are a group of people on the face of this earth right now who are Christians, who are walking through the fire, and the fire's hot, and they don't know which way to turn. They don't know where to go for help. But as they go through these processes, God, they're falling in love with you with a depth of love that can't be explained. The people that look at us have terms. They call us sold out. They can't comprehend it. But I think, Lord, that as each person goes through their process, and it becomes, they get that glimpse of your glory and they get that understanding, the fire becomes something that's beautiful. And I've walked through some of that fire. And I know I have more fire to walk through because I'm still alive. I don't think the fire ends. But God, I pray that you would just create gold out of those people that say yes to the fire. And I pray that you heal each of us along the way and help each of us to do our own part to be that healing for each other. I thank you, God, for this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, everyone, this is Blog Talk Radio, Healing Hearts His Way. And I will be back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. I thank you for listening to the show. And hopefully we can be like Paul in Acts 5:15 and realize that as we take on the glory of God, even people that get in our shadow will be set free. They will be healed. They will be delivered. It won't have to be through this laborious process, but it will be immediate because God is that awesome. So until next time, have a great week, and I'll be thinking of you all.